Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk. How you doing? And welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, I want to thank you for listening and for allowing me to share some of your time with you today. Today's show is on, basically, it's on fear. What each person believes and perceives as fear, what each person's major fear is, basically my question or my discussion or our topic or whatever you want to look at it is, what's your biggest fear and why are you afraid? And when I say what's your biggest fear and why are you afraid, I'm going to touch on several different points of fear, manifestations of fear, and sometimes and the basis of a lot of fear. A lot of people have fear of a whole lot of different things. You know, fear of death, fear of losing your job, fear of your relationship going south, fear of your car breaking down, fear. You know, fear of confronting somebody, fear of changing your jobs, fear of meeting or being able to meet the challenges that are going to be that you're going to be confronted with throughout your life. First off, please, just for a moment, stop outside yourself and try to figure out what is it that you're afraid of and why are you afraid of it. Is that fear real or is that fear make-belief? You know, is it something that's just in your mind or is it something that's real? They say that the only things that we're really afraid of when we're first born is the fear of falling and the fear of a loud noise. However, many people have taken that and they've added so many things on it that it's amazing that any of us can function. You know, it's said that the fear of speaking in public is one of the number one fears amongst most people in the world. And, okay, you know, I understand talking in front of a bunch of people you don't know could make you a little nervous or make you a little leery. You know, but if you know the subject, then there shouldn't be any problem talking to anybody. And if that person doesn't know you and you don't know them and you're not being disrespectful or any of those other things, why should you be afraid? You know, you got people that are scared to get on a motorcycle. You got people that are scared to do just about anything. Well, if you live your life in fear, you're really not living a life. What you're doing is you're operating in this little fantasy. First off, the fantasy is that we all think that we're safe. You know, it's like the difference between somebody that'll ride in a car real, real fast and somebody that won't get on a motorcycle to save their life. What's the difference? The difference is that in a car you have a false sense of security. That false sense of security is that car body that you're in. Well, that car body that you're in isn't going to do you any good. First off, they don't make vehicles like they used to. You know, back in the 50s, they made cars out of steel. Perfect example. You take a car of the 1950s and you run it into a car now, the car of the 1950s will still be probably running and you might have a couple of scratches on the paint, to where the car that we would use now, the car that we feel safe in, would probably crumble up and crack up and everything else. And they tell us that that's to help prevent us from being hurt. Why? Because now they've got safety zones and crumple zones and all of these other things. Basically, the materials that they're using now are cheaper. They cost less. They weigh less. You get more gas mileage for it. And for that, you're actually giving up your safety. And then, you know, they talk about, well, we've got all these new fancy gadgets. Well, you need all of these new fancy gadgets. Why? Because the car isn't as safe as it used to be. So now we add all of these little add-ons and adjustments and airbags and side airbags and crumple zones and, you know, all of these different things and protective glass. Again, I'm not saying that the cars aren't made better to an extent. But think about this. Let's look at the economical side of it. If things were made better, could somebody explain to me why when we had the house boom, a house that was 10 years old, was worth twice what it was worth before. It's had three or four families live in it. Nobody's made any real improvements to it, yet that house went up more than twice its original cost. In some cases, five, six, seven times its original cost. And it hadn't had a new kitchen. It hadn't been revamped, just like vehicles, a lot of vehicles. The safety regulations have gotten stricter, but the cars haven't gotten better. There really haven't been any advances in technology or in those areas in a long time. However, what did we do? We spent a whole lot of money trying to upgrade things that were already downgraded. And because of the need and because we had all of this disposable money, people fed into it. But anyway, let's get back to fear. They say that the only fear that you're really afraid of when you're first born, again, is the fear of falling and the fear of a loud noise. And for those people that are scared of talking to other people and scared of presenting in front of a group, as I wrote on the show advertisement, if I was to tell you that I needed you to talk to a large group and I was to take a loaded gun, put it to your head, and tell you you got a choice, either you talk to this group or I'm going to pull this trigger, I got a feeling there'd be some great orators created just in that moment. Some people that would have a whole lot to say and wouldn't matter who they were saying it to. Why? Because I think the fear of dying is a heck of a motivator. You know, it's just amazing how we've conditioned ourselves to become a group of people who I am functioned by fear. That is just amazing. And it doesn't really seem like any changes anytime soon. But a lot of those fears that we pick up, a lot of those things that we've made ours, that we've brought into our lives and decided that, you know, this is real, a lot of those things are conditioning. They're conditioning of our society. I mean, nowadays the news is constantly conditioning us to believe and to be afraid. I mean, everything that you buy nowadays is going to help you live longer so you don't want to die. You know, you see a tire commercial, it's talking about you need these tires because they're going to keep you safe. You know, you need these headlights because they're going to keep you from hitting a child. You know, you need security on your house. You need security on your internet. You know, you need to get a new program so that it protects your credit card because of credit card thieves. You know, you need life insurance because people are dying at such a great rate that, you know, the insurance company wants to help you out. You know, you need flood insurance, car insurance, house insurance, homeowners insurance. You need all of these different types of insurances and all of these other different types of things that do you really need them? You know, what's the average person's chances of most of these things happening to them? It's actually probably pretty slim. However, if you were to look at the media, you would think that it was happening every day and it was happening in such large numbers that it was just unreal. So, again, we are becoming a nation, or we've become, not becoming, we've become a nation that is being conditioned. It's part of our conditioning to be afraid. People are scared to walk out of their house. You know, the biggest fears, of course, are supposed to be the fear of speaking, the fear of rejection, and the fear of failure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get through life without conquering or without dealing with these fears on some level. And in order for us to move forward and to do what we need to do, we need to constantly remind ourselves that life happens. You know, you can't walk through your life with a can of mace. You can't walk through your life worried about some burglar breaking into your house so you need an alarm. You can't go through your life worrying about I've fallen and I can't get up, so now you need an alert band that hangs around your neck. You know, you can't have a security system on everything that you own. Most of us can't remember the daggone security codes that we've got in place for all the different things that we've got going on nowadays. You know, so there's a series of different things that are going on and a series of different things that are happening in our lives that we need to get a grip on and we need to take hold of. And we need to take action. And part of that action is relearning some of the things that we've learned. You know, we live in a world of negative conditioning. And there are several motivators, several big motivators. Again, the motivators that are, to me, the most prevalent are fear, greed, vanity, and control, or those are part of the things that are there. But fear, greed, vanity and control are some of the things that control us and get us to where we do things that we really don't want to do. Our society preys on different factors and different fear factors, different levels of fear and different depths of fear. And it's just amazing. I mean, 50% of our ads that come out nowadays are based on what? They're based on fear, they're based on greed, they're based on vanity. You need this eye cream, you know, you need this skin cream, you know, you've got pimples. If you want to look good, you need to dress this way. This whole term, metrosexual, I mean, it's amazing the different terms and potions and notions and quotients and everything else that's come out to help us. You know, now you, to get on the airport, you got to go through a metal detector. You got to go through a screening. You got to go through all of this stuff. It used to be that we could just travel, but that's no longer the deal. You know, Thomas Edison, again, it took him, what, 10,000 times to make a light bulb. When he asked him, you know, how does it feel to failure? Here's somebody that definitely looked at failure. He said, I never failed. He said, I just found 10,000 ways or 6,000 ways not to make a light bulb. But either way, because that man stepped up and because he did what he did, we have what we have today. And again, it is just amazing. Again, there are degrees of failure. There's degrees of failure in everything. But one of the main things that help us fail is not being prepared, not being ready for the things that we need to do. Also, not making contact with the people that we need to make contact with. If you fear talking to your mechanic and your car is flashing on your and your light is flashing on your car, then guess what? When your car breaks down, that fear caused you to what? Probably have a bigger bill and probably have to deal with other things. Fear of preparing, fear of not doing the things that you need to do. Those things are going to hurt you. Here are six typical reactions to rejection and fear. One is curse it. You know, you start using profanity, things like that. You're pissed off. Another one is denial. You know, saying it in a nice way, you're not doing what you need to do. You're denying the fact that by not taking the action you need to take, you're not getting what you want to get. Avoidance, finding ways to avoid doing what you need to do. By finding ways to avoid doing what you need to do, it's the same thing with the car. Now you're stuck because now, let's say it's the 31st, and you didn't do what you needed to do with your car. So now what happens? Your car can't get through inspection because you don't have the things that you need, or you waited too long and now there's things that needed to be taken care of that now you don't have the time to take care of, or now you're scrambling to take care of, or now you need to pay an exorbitant amount to get it fixed because now you're in a rush to get it done, especially if you only have one vehicle. All right, next thing. Making excuses about it. You can't make excuses about what you need to do. You need to do what you need to do. You need to live in the moment. You need to act now. You need to do the things that you need to do. Blaming others. The only person's fault who it is yours. Because guess what? No matter what happened, whether you're right or whether you're wrong, if you hadn't have put yourself in that situation, you wouldn't have to be going through what you are going through. You know, when I lived in Japan, there was a saying, if you had an accident, it was always a certain percentage, no matter how the accident happened, it was your fault. Why was it your fault? It was your fault because if you hadn't have been there for the accident to happen, then that drunk couldn't have run into you. I thought that was one of the most amazing things that I had ever heard in my life. However, it's true. If you hadn't have been there, then the accident wouldn't have happened. Now, if you want to say, is that fair, is that right, that's not the way it works in America, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. However, let's say you have an accident. Somebody runs into you. You get run into. Who's inconvenienced and doesn't have a car? Are you paying? Yes. Whose insurance is now affected? Are you? Oh, yes. Whose insurance is still going to go up whether you are at fault or not? Yours. So are you still paying in the long run? Yes. So it's all kind of semantics. It's how you look at it and how you line it up as to whether you're still kind of getting the bad end of the stick. Again, I'm not here to discuss which end of the stick is bad or which end of the stick is good. But fear, what is fear? A lot of people say that fear is false evidence appearing real. That means it's a mindset. We need to change our mindset. We need to get some guts and do the things that we need to do. We need to stop making excuses as to why we can't do things, all right, in order for us to look forward, in order for us to do the things that we need to do. First off, there's no such thing as failure. You guys have heard me say this 1,000 times. There is no such thing as failure. And from every time that you don't succeed at something, you learn, again, like Thomas Edison, another way not to do what you did. You know that you need to change your position, change your approach, and change the way that you look at things. look at failure as an event, not as a person. All right? Remember, your situation is just your situation. It is not you. Look at the why and then find a solution. If you look at the why on how you can fix a particular thing, sometimes you can find a solution to it and then find a better approach. If you can't find a solution, then that means you're not looking hard enough, you're not working hard enough, or you're not really realizing that maybe this thing isn't for you and you need to take a whole nother approach, or maybe this thing just doesn't work, period, and wouldn't work for anybody. You need to list your possible opportunities and the things that are going to happen for you. All right? You need to ask yourself, what have I learned, and then try again. Again, you think you're going to fail or you fail. You need to look at it and say, okay, what did I do? How can I learn from that, and how can I move on? Remember, there is no such thing as failing. Failing is probably the greatest learning tool that any of us have. Why? Because we all have such a repulsion to failing in the first place. Okay. Don't mope around with others about your failures. Don't go around telling people that, oh, I failed, this didn't work. Try to find positive, upbeat people that are going to help you to figure out how to do it. Also, you can also look at other people that have done it and maybe implement some of the things that they used to help them succeed, to help them get to the point to where they were able to face what they needed to face. Okay? And then what will happen is you find that successful person. Those successful people are the people that you want in your circle. Those successful people are the people that you want to be around. Those negative Neds and negative Nellies, you want to get rid of them. You don't want them in your life. You don't want them around you. They don't help anybody. The information here can be challenging. But we're laying it out so that it can help you. We're laying it out so that you have it. We're laying it out so that you know that you're greater than anything. We all need to think of that third person. There was a, who was it? I think it was Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar was doing a presentation, and he said that he is wonderfully and powerfully made. And he said that he also read an article that said that every third person is either brilliant or handsome. So he says, okay, look to your left, if there's a person sitting next to your left. He says, is it them? He says, okay, look to your right. All right, you look to your right, if there's a person there. He says, is it them? He said, I'm sure that most of the people that I'm talking to can look around and go, you know what? It's neither one of them. Then that means it must be you. So if it's you, then that's a beautiful thing and you need to move on. That means that you're brilliant and you're a beautiful or handsome individual. So with those comments in mind, let's go ahead and make ourselves a beautiful and wonderful life. Let's go ahead and live our dreams and do the things that we need to do and take action and make the things that we say we want a reality. Again, we need to, again, create a new environment. If we're feeling that something is taking us out of an environment, of the environment that we want to be in, we need to cultivate new associations. We need to access new information. And we need to get a new mindset and create a new background of thoughts. What's inside your mind and how you see things has a great effect on whether you're going to be successful in anything that you do, if you're going to be able to face those fears, those challenges. Okay, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I used to tell people I'm not a beholder, I see things as they are. And I still kind of believe in that. But again, what are you afraid of? What do you think is holding you back? There was a gentleman by the name of Earl Nightingale, and in Earl Nightingale's legendary tape, The Strangest Secret, it was said that you become what you think about the most. So whatever it is that you think about, that's what you become. And I believe that. I truly believe that, and I agree with Earl Nightingale. However, please remember that a lot of us believe in certain things because we've been kind of conditioned to look at those things as being positive. We've kind of looked at those things as being worth something. And in some cases, some of those things are probably worth a little bit of nothing. They're only worth something to those that put credence in that level of worth. So, with what Mr. Nightingale is saying, we need to look at it this way. If you're already conditioned to think a certain way, if you want change in your life and you want positive change, then you have to change the way you see things. You have to change the picture that you've created in your mind. Because if you can think it, if you can realize it and make it yours, it can be yours. Now, mind you, I'm not saying kidnap anybody and, you know, anything like that. I'm not saying make a person yours. But what I'm saying is that if you can visualize it and realize it in your mind and see it vividly, then there's a strong possibility that it can be yours. It also depends on where your mindset is, what you're thinking about, how you're using what you're thinking about to create the things that you want. Another thing I think that we all need to be careful of, control. A lot of us let other people control us. Understand a job is just a job. You can always get more money. You can always make new friends. You can even, ladies and gentlemen, I know this sounds cruel, but you can have more children. You can get a new house, all of the above. But you are still stuck with you. They say one of the biggest problems with most people is that no matter what you give them, if you give them $10 million, a big house, big car, nice clothes, all of the above, great job, the problem is that the one thing, the one problem that everybody brings with them to their whole new life is themselves. Don't be your biggest problem. Don't get in your own way. Get rid of that fear and understand that fear is false evidence appearing real. You can do it. Believe in yourself and do the things that you need to do to step forward with your life. Make the change and take the action. Thank you very much. This is Zurian of The Zurian Show, and as always, I want to thank you for listening, and please continue to listen and share the show with anybody that you think it would help. Again, thank you very much, and have a great and wonderful day, life, and all of the above. I wish you every success. Take care.